You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
When one speaks of the perfect symmetry between science fiction, fantasy, and horror podcasting, with a special emphasis on Doctor Who, one should become a connoisseur of transmissions from Atlantis, featuring JC and Rita Della Torre. While both will have a passionate and vigorous argument on the subject of the day, they do so with the utmost respect.
What? That wasn't stupid.
You're stupid.
You're stupid.
You're stupid. Stupid. And dignity.
Fuck Commander it. Riker here. I'm by the book.
Prime Directive kind of guy.
Prime Directive. Geek.
Join Transmissions from Atlantis. Weekly at transmissionsfromatlantis.com and part of the ESO Network. Yes, it's quite good, really.
Hello, and welcome again to the Monster Sci-Fi Show Podcast. I am your host, The Monster, back to give you another week of sci-fi news. Normally, I try to get this episode out by Friday, hence the date on this podcast, listing it as the 6th, but today being the 8th, I had a couple of setbacks that prevented me from getting to that goal. Even though the past week and a half or so, I've been putting out a lot of podcasts, I wanted to get back to a really regular schedule, at least with the sci-fi news segments. So, if you noticed, a little bit of a different type of background, I'm actually recording this outside in my backyard, in my porch. And the problem lies is that if I don't get up super early, at that time the house is super quiet, so I can do my podcast without any problems and have some coffee and enjoy myself. But because in the middle of the night, I got up at 2 in the morning, went back at 4, slept till about almost 9, I have to find a quiet place. So, in the past couple of Sundays, since Irma, Hurricane Irma, I've been coming out here to the backyard and just kind of using this as a way to have some quiet time, and I thought maybe this might be an idea for me to use this location as a new recording studio. Although, if you hear the wind, it is a nice light summer, well, I should say fall breeze. Very low humidity, so if you hear any background noise, like cars passing by or ACs turning on, just remember I'm recording this outside, and there's music somewhere being recorded. But in any case, I do have a lot of stuff to get into, so I do want to pass off at least some sad news to a good friend of mine, Mike Faber, whose dog Ripple had finally sadly passed away. I've mentioned him on previous podcasts to help his GoFundMe page with his cancer treatment. And even though I think they raised up a good enough money for him, ultimately he did succumb to that illness. So my thoughts and prayers are with you, Mike, and Judy, and your family. As I know, I've been down that road a lot of times, seeing a loved one who is more than just a pet pass. And Friday night, I got word that my mom's dog, who I really loved a lot, had later died that night as well. He had been suffering from several episodes of cardiac arrest, and even though he was on medication, he was not expected to last long when he was first diagnosed, and this was like maybe 3 or 4 months ago. So, unfortunately, that kind of news really dampened my spirits. Whereas Mike's situation happened on Saturday. I also called out of work on Friday due to illness. So, you know, it's not in the best of mind and body and spirit to do anything like this. So, again, hope you can forgive me for this delay, but I will make it up with the quality and the quantity in which I'll have to talk about this. So, a couple of upcoming news. I still am working on my Star Trek rewatch, so I'm hoping to get that out sometime next week. Also, I have not seen any of the Inhumans TV series yet, and episode 3 will be coming out later this Friday. But I have confirmed, I have Jennifer from the Earth Station MCU who is going to be joining me. I'm really happy about this because I listen to her podcast whenever she talks about Agent Carter when it was on the air and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So that's primarily my only source of feedback of what other people think about these two shows that I watched. So I'm glad that she's on board. We're looking to record on Tuesday, October 17th. So if you want to email your questions about what you have thought about the Inhumans TV series, I would love it so that if you wait until Friday and see the third one, send all your questions in. Send it to my email, monstersci-fi show@gmail.com, and put in the subject heading, Inhumans. So at least I know what's coming into my mailbox. And what have I been watching? So last night I've been watching Big Mouth on Netflix. Basically, it's an animated series with Nick Kroll, John Mulaney, great cast of SNL players that have also lent their voice talent. And it's really not kid-friendly, but it's funny as hell talking about kids growing up through puberty. And it's very well done. I'm very happy with that. And the humor is really top-notch. So I was really happy about that. The other thing that I've noticed, and this kind of likes, this goes to my YouTube channel, which I do have, oddly enough. Anytime I do a podcast through my host site, it posts to YouTube as a video clip, but basically it's just audio and it has the video still of whatever the episode that I'm talking about. For the most part, I get 0 to 1 views on the video side. So the audio side, when I have it on iTunes or my blog or through other social media, you know, I get listeners. But this one episode in particular, this is the one dealing with Star Trek versus the Orville, the bonus episode that I did with Mr. Gene after we recorded Star Trek Discovery, has done phenomenal. And I can't think for the life of me why, other than thank you. Thank you to everyone that's been listening to this. In fact, I actually got another subscriber. So now I am in the double digits. So instead of 9, I'm at 10. 10 subscribers. So, you know I'm making the money. Thanks, YouTube. I wanted to mention someone that had posts on my site. And her name, or at least on YouTube, is going by Laurie Sienna. So I want to thank you especially, because we started talking about the Orville and how much you liked it, and then you brought up how much you liked Red Dwarf. And I mentioned to you back saying, I have no idea about Red Dwarf. I know of it. I've never seen it. And you wrote back to me. You gave me lots of good information. So I've done you proud. I have now watched 2 episodes of Red Dwarf thanks to Daily Motion. And I like it. I really do. So thank you for that. So major kudos for turning me on to a new series that has been on for quite some time. But I thank you for that. I am now a fellow dwarfer of this series. So I am really looking forward to catching up on the series. Plus, I think there's now series 13 or something like that. I know it's still going on, brand new, coming out later this month. We're getting another series. So I got a lot of good stuff to catch up on. So again, thank you to Laura Siena for that. All right. Before I even get into the big three, I want to talk about Star Trek Discovery. Since the time of the podcast, Jane has caught up to episode 3. We both watched it. And we finally get on Discovery. So after 2 hours, we finally get on the ship of Discovery. And in keeping with what Tony had said about the space diplomacy, it really seems that Captain Lorca, who we meet, is, I'm not going to say he's quite unstable, but I have a feeling what he is looking to do, because he's trying to help end the war by any means, you know, he has discretion to do whatever he needs to get that happen. So he recruits Burnham. So we see this new type of technology they're exploring with spores and traveling through space. I'm thinking that whatever this ultimate weapon is going to be, and the reason why I say that ultimate weapon, in my head, and Gene and I kind of agreed that, like in Star Trek novels, if you ever read it, a lot of the storylines are pretty much the exact same storyline. You know, Kirk or Picard or whoever is trying to prevent this ultimate weapon from destroying the universe. And in some cases, it does. But the rule of thought is that you can do whatever you want to that universe. But by the end of the novel, it all gets put back. There's very little changes to anyone. You know, like, if I remember it, it'll be like a vague feeling. But then that's about it. So I started thinking about Star Trek Next Generation, an episode called Yesterday's Enterprise, which, if you are a fan, you'll know is probably one of the really good episodes in Season 3 that really started to pick up the pace, because we got back Beverly Crusher, we got rid of Dr. Pulaski, and we got Guinan. So Season 3, I think, was really one of the best seasons that really made The Next Generation to stand on its own. But by this time, Denise Crosby, who played Lieutenant Yar, had already died in Season 1 in the Skin of Evil episode. But in this episode, there was a time rift because of a Enterprise C that came through a rift, which they were defending a Klingon outpost. And because of that, that changed the current timeline on Next Gen. And it was a fantastic episode, but what had to have happened was that that ship had to go back into the rift, and even though it would not survive that battle, the Federation had been dealing with the Klingon War, and had not been going well for the Federation. So that's what got me thinking about what Discovery is going on, because they're dealing with the beginnings of that war. So by the end of the Next Gen episode, that timeline is gone. So I'm thinking, and it is a cop-out that I mentioned this as a messenger on with Tony, that if they do this, that this is a self-contained universe, and then it leads into the original series, that bubble that we've seen at Discovery is an apparition in a timeline, that it goes out of existence. So it never existed. It could be how it's all going to play out. But if they do that, then hell, go shoot for the moon. You know, go make a home run every single time. Do whatever you want in this universe and just go to the nth degree. Because at the end, if all this is wiped out because of what we're thinking may happen with this new technology and this weapon to travel faster than light, could backfire and envelop a universe like a static warp bubble and then shrink it down into nothingness, that could explain a lot of things. But we'll see how this all plays out. And unfortunately, I got stuck with the CBS All Access because I forgot to cancel it. So I have it for now until October 25th. So I still have a couple more episodes. So I started watching After Trek, the show that comes after Star Trek Discovery. And Matt Myra, I think, does a fair job. And we've seen the executive producer and a couple of people from the cast be on the show. And he does try to talk about certain things, certain aspects like the Klingons. And it's not hard-hitting enough for me to say, you know, if you're in that position and you're there to talk about that episode. For me, again, this is just because, and I'm not nitpicking, but I would like to get an answer as to, well, why are these Klingons different from what we've seen in the past? And yes, there is a process of which you have limited budgets to a point where you can do prosthetics that makes the characters look alien but still have human features, to a situation where you're having massive amounts of prosthetics work for these people that you may see in a shot or two, but they're all over the ship. So he never really goes for, to me, the jugular, just saying, you know, what the hell's going on? Why is this going on? Or why is this look completely out of touch with what's going to happen with the original series? So putting all that aside, and I'm looking at episode 3, and I'm thinking, that's what has to happen. And if they do that, it's fine. I just think that you cannot downgrade to a series and treat Discovery as part of canon without explanation to what's going on with that universe. So again, it's been done in Star Trek The Next Generation, so that timeline does exist somewhere, so who knows how this will all play. But right now, I'm okay with it. I will watch it. And again, I want nothing more to see more Star Trek on the air. But I know canon can be at times restricting, and that's understandable. But there are ways you can do this that is still in keeping. So if this is how they're going to explain this little 15-episode story arc is going to play out, that it just gets popped out of existence, I don't know. We'll see. We shall see, and we'll talk about this again. All right, so let me put that all aside. So again, a lot of stuff to talk about. I haven't even talked about the big three items. But I'm going to talk about Rick and Morty. I got a couple of news items about that. I want to talk about Disney wanting to keep Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on the air for some god-unknown reason. And we'll talk about the first episode of Gifted. That's a new X-Men series on Fox. So lots to still get to. So, as I've mentioned, I sit back here in the back porch almost once a week, like on a Sunday in the morning, and past couple of Sundays I've been catching up on Rick and Morty, and I've been really loving this series a lot. And this, I owe a great many thanks to a dear friend of mine who now lives in Kentucky. I miss you, Barbara, but she's the one that really got me introduced to Rick and Morty. So I blame her for now my obsession with this show. But this season, I think by far, has been my favorite. Although, season one, there's a couple of great moments with the Meeseeks and Mr. Poopy Butthole. And I actually thought about, well, let me try to do this all in just like one character voice. And I really can't because of I'm still dealing with this congestion. So if I try to do a deep voice, I wind up coughing my brains out, and then I have to stop the recording, and like I'll never finish. So it's going to be just a plain Jane. This is what I think. So even when Mr. Gene and I went to Dragon Con and hear all these Pickle Rick lines being thrown out, I didn't get it because I didn't see the episode, but now that I saw the Pickle Rick episode, I laughed my ass off. But let me put that aside first, because I want to talk about the big news item that came out. Last Friday, Tate's, one of our favorite comic book stores here, which we travel from Miami to Fort Lauderdale, they had a Rickmobile. And if you see my Facebook wall, I have pictures from that event. And since it was raining, it took like at least a couple hours just to get up there. And when we got there, it was like over in 5 minutes, because basically you could take pictures. That's great. It's outdoors, but it's a shop, a portable shop of Rick and Morty merchandise. And that line was just too damn long. So the other option was to go to Tate's itself. But even that was crowded. But I got a button. I got a button out of it, and so did my kids and my wife. So that was fine. I thought, realistically going in, I was lucky to get that much. All right. So flash forward to yesterday. Yesterday being Saturday, October 7th. Mr. Gene gave me the heads up about the special sauce. So if you watch season 3, episode 1, there's a line from Rick talking about the Szechuan sauce from the Mulan movie that came out with McDonald's and promoted the special sauce. Lo and behold, McDonald's was going to actually bring back the Szechuan sauce for one day only. Let me clarify, for a very, very limited time only. At a specific time, with limited quantities and limited stores, it got ugly. I should have left early, but I'm like, who, if anyone, especially down here in Miami, will go after Rick and Morty for this special promotion of the Szechuan sauce? Well, I was wrong. So, as I'm driving to the McDonald's, again, there's like two in Miami that's near me. There was a line for the drive-thru. I'm like, I could not believe there was a line to get into McDonald's. It's like, no, we're going to go inside. We're going to go eat there. So we get a perfect spot, and lo and behold, there's a line going out of McDonald's. Again, if you see on my Facebook wall, you'll see that line going out the door. So I'm like, all right, fine, we'll just wait. And then this ass munch comes along, wants to sell a chicken nugget with a dip from the Szechuan sauce for $10. I'm like, no one's taking this. But then like 5 minutes later, I heard, oh, they're all sold out. They only had 17 packets of this special sauce. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. It's one thing to be, you limit it to a certain location, but you didn't even have enough for like a tenth of what the people that showed up. So we wound up leaving, and then I saw on the news and articles how up in Palm Beach it got even worse because they had to call in the cops because people were really upset because they had, some stores only had less than 20. And some, none at all. They asked people to buy stuff and then to release it later, which they never had. So that's the kind of thing that I'm like, I like being nerdy and I will support nerdy things like going to McDonald's for a special sauce that's mentioned on Rick and Morty that I've also had when I watched Mulan. But it's a disservice. As much as I like McDonald's and when they bring back the McRib sandwich, I'm all in. But they're going to have to make it up to the fans. they have to bring back the Szechuan sauce and do it for at least a limited time only. Even if it's just for a week, they have to have enough quantity on hand. This was really an insult. And I really felt bad for, if you look in the reports, you know, the kids that were upset that came out there with their parents to partake of this event that never really happened for them. That's who I really feel bad for. And I'm not blaming Rick and Morty, but, you know, we love the show. We want to support it. Just like people went out to see the Brickmobile. It's a great show. And I had a great time watching this season. But I think by far this episode, I think episode 3, where we have the Pickle Rick, it's one of the grossest, one of the most funniest episodes that I've ever seen on Rick and Morty. But I think what took me over the edge is that there was a roach that he bit into it, and then he started licking the brain to use the motor coordination of the animal itself so that he can travel on the back of it. It was just too much, and it just got progressively worse, but it was fantastic, so I really can't complain. My wife could, but she loves Rick and Morty, but it was too much for her. So the other favorite one, the one that really blew me away, was the Tales of the Citadel. So Rick and Morty in this episode want to go to Atlantis, and then all of a sudden another portal opens up, and then you see another pair of Rick and Morty, but they're from the Citadel, and they are trying to get people to help raise it back up again. So as they continue on their story, which we never see other than the comeback at the end, we see the whole Citadel and this whole planet full of Rick and Mortys, and they explore different aspects of different Ricks, different Mortys, different roles that they each are playing. And for less than a half hour, I was amazed by this. Think of it as if you've never seen Cloud Atlas by the Wachowskis, where you have multiple storylines and they're all connected to each other. It was on that kind of level, and it was a very impressive level. And oh my god, it was fantastic. One of the best episodes that I've ever seen of Rick and Morty. And I give it all the praise in the world because it deserves this. But if you have never seen Rick and Morty, do yourself a favor and please watch this show. If you love pop culture references, you like sci-fi stuff, it is all there. And if you like Dan Harmon from Community, and the D&D's Harmon Quest, I forgot about that series, it's hysterical. I really appreciate what he can do, and it's fantastic. So again, I love the series. I want to support it, and you know, it's kind of cool that when it was not as well known, but just seeing the results for the past couple of weeks, it's grown to be something of a pop culture thing that it's bigger than that show. So I'm just, again, I'm happy for the show. I was happy I got to see the Rickmobile. I just was not happy about the Szechuan sauce. But again, McDonald's needs to make that up to all of us. So, but that's all I'm going to talk about with Rick and Morty. But again, please support that show whenever it comes back on. If not, watch it on Adult Swim. Buy it on DVD. It's well worth your time. All right, so we're going to Disney's reasons to keep Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on the air. Now, if you know, Disney is the parent company over ABC, and ABC is really not doing as well as the other networks, and really wanted to cancel the show after the fourth season. Now, as I mentioned before, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., started off okay. I lost it about the fourth or fifth episode, but Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. really picked up, thanks to David, who told me that when Captain America Winter Soldier, if you watch that movie and then watch by episode six or so, it really picks up. That half of season one is amazingly done so well. So if you've stopped, if you haven't watched, do yourself a favor and we'll just watch that first half of that. I'm sorry, the last half of that first season. Do that. You'll be pleased by that. I've mentioned that I still watch this show, and I thought the last season four was actually pretty good because of the Ghost Rider, and then we got the future of Hydra being charged down in this virtual world, and that was kind of cool as well. So it's not gangbusters in which it's must watch. It's more like, well, I'm still watching it because I've put in all this time and effort. And Disney's thinking is that, and Gene pointed this out, is that this show basically is a placeholder. Now, with Thor Ragnarok coming out, that's coming out in November. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is not coming back until January because of the Inhuman series. So that whole placeholder thing doesn't make a difference. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. miss Guardians of the Galaxy when it came out. So I don't see how, if Disney's thinking that's all it's going to be is a placeholder, well, the Inhumans thing is not going to happen as we once thought, like in season 2 and 3, or leading up to the Inhumans movie, that being canceled, and then being brought back partially as a movie that was released into the theaters, which I saw, and then will be released now as a complete series for season 1. That, I don't know, that means that's it. It's a one and done series, but whatever this run is, that may be it. So I don't see moving forward, except for the Avengers, is it going to be even worth it to keep that show on the air? But apparently Disney thinks it needs it. And it's really hard to kind of justify, but then again, I did a podcast at work with teens talking about DC versus Marvel and how Marvel may dominate in the movies, TV-wise, except for Netflix and the Daredevil and Jessica Jones and Luke Cage and Iron Fist and the Defenders. All they have now is just Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And they cancel Agent Carter, and Inhumans, it's not a very dominating TV side for Marvel. So I'm thinking that's the only reason why this, that they invested so much money, and maybe they get to tie it in with the Avengers coming out, but honestly, that's a hard pill to swallow, even for me who's been watching this all along. I say, let's do one more season, and we're out. You know, if you're not going to bring back Coulson back into the fold, into the MCU, then don't bother. Don't bother making this much a longer process than needs to be. So, we'll see whatever happens. But again, I'll be talking about the Inhumans. And Jennifer, who again has her Earth Station MCU, is a big fan of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and anything Marvel, so I really want to pick her brains and what she thinks about this series in the grand scheme. Alright, so last on the list is going to be the Fox's show called Gifted. So we are getting another X-Men series, which is not really tied so far that I can think of to Legion, which is on FX, which is a lot of fun to watch. I really like that first couple episodes, which I've not finished that season. It's really more psychedelic and eerie at times. So even though I do want to finish watching it, I haven't, just because, again, there's too many other things catching my eye. But I wanted to see what they're planning to do with Gifted. Now we are getting the director of the X-Men movies for X-Men 1 and 2, as well as the second X-Men movie, the Days of Future Past. Sorry, I'm blanking out here. So it's interesting to see that he is now back into the X-Men universe. And right off the bat, we get a different type of situation. We learn that the Brotherhood of Mutants have gone missing, as well as the X-Men. So I'm wondering, is this yet another timeline? Is this something that will tie into the movies? Because we do get characters like Strucker, who in the X-Men second movie, this is again the one with Patrick Stewart, not with the other guy. So with William Stryker, basically he's using his son to control Professor X, and in turn using his powers to control or kill all the other mutants. But here in that universe, he's a scientist. Where in the series, basically he's a prosecutor. So I thought maybe there were a connection to what's going to happen in that movie, but so far it isn't. I looked it up on IMDb, and basically this is an alternate universe. So unlike Star Trek Discovery, in which I talked about this earlier, if this is indeed an alternate timeline, fine, I will go with it. The characters so far that I've seen on there are interesting enough. I was surprised to see Amy Acker, who's back. And if you don't know who she plays Fred from Angel, who I adore very much. So I was very happy to see her. And some of the characters I wasn't too familiar, other than with Blink, who you did see in Days of Future Past. So she is sort of brought back. The one character that I thought I don't remember him saying his name, but I'm like, he looks like this character that died very early in the X-Men comics, and his name is Thunderbird. And I'm like, there it is. We are getting actual Thunderbird, so that's kind of cool. It's one of my favorite characters that I thought, you know, it'd be nice that he wasn't just, you know, killed off very early in a series, but in this TV show, he is going to be part of that. So I thought, oh, that's awesome. One of the things that I took away while watching this also was another character. His name is Eclipse, played by Sean Teal. And I had to do like a double take, because at times he had looked a lot like Oscar Isaac. And if you know him, he's Poe Dameron from Star Wars, The Last Jedi coming up, as well as The Force Awakens. And other movies he's done in the past. But it was just like an eerie likeness. Even his mannerisms were just kind of spot on. But overall, I was just like a little bit more on board as opposed to Legion. Because Legion was a little bit hard to get into, because I had to watch it several times to understand what was going on, because it's more psychotropic in nature. Whereas here, it's just more of a straight on, I have a family, and even though I prosecute mutants, I need the mutants to help my family because two of my kids are now mutants. So he's running on the run from the law, basically. So right off the first episode, you set up that universe and you kind of understand that premise. And that's fine. I'm kind of curious to see where they're going to take it further. If they're going to tie it in eventually down to what will happen in the regular X-Men universe, kind of like with X-Men, with Logan, you know, far in the future, basically you only had a handful of characters still left. And you had the Westchester incident that we still don't know what the details of. Maybe this is tied into that, who knows. But again, as long as you say this is an alternative universe, I'm okay. Discovery, we still are not clear as to what they're going to do with that. But honestly, I'm happy to see Brian bring back this franchise back. Stan Lee makes a quick cameo. Nothing really memorable, but he's in it. So, hooray for that. I wasn't expecting it, but there he was. I'm just curious to see where it's going to take this from this point on. Again, among everything else that I have to watch, I'll do my best to keep it on top of it. But this is taking up Gotham's old slot on Mondays on Fox, which was at 8 p.m., which Gotham I am still behind now by 1 week. Had moved to Thursdays. But still, very well done. Very happy with it. And can't complain whatsoever. So I'll leave it at that. And I'll talk about this in the future when the series for this first season is over. And give you my thoughts about what I thought about it then. So, on that note, that's all that I have as far as what I'm going to be talking about for sci-fi news for this week. So again, thank you for listening to this podcast. Thank you for you guys who are watching me on YouTube. Even if it's just the one episode that's getting all these views and lots of comments, I'm very happy for that. So again, keep listening to the shows. That can only get better from this point on, but I need your input. So again, I love the fact that now I am into watching Red Dwarf. I want to learn from you guys. Something, again, I've been wanting to do is there's stuff out there that I'm curious about, and I need you guys to help me out to find out what's good out there, as well as me telling you what I like. And hopefully we can learn from each other that way. So email me, again, those questions. If you want to be part of the show for the Inhumans, remember, I'm going to do 3 episodes of reviews, so email me at monstersci-fi show@gmail.com with the subject line, Inhumans, so I know when to look out for that. Alright, so follow me on the various social networks, and again, thank you for listening to me and to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. It's sci-fi from a certain point of view. Good night.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.